Welcome to Tea to Tea, where we talk about the pipeline from saga tutor to classroom teacher and other roles in education. We'll dive into that journey and the ways that former saga tutors have leveraged their experience with saga to build a meaningful career in education. Thanks for joining us.
So I'm Tars. I just finished up doing a year of service with Saga in June. Yeah, what about you, Reek?
Yeah, my name is Reno Wasbo. I am currently a math and science teacher at a charter school in the city of Chicago. Namaste charter school. Mm-hmm. I worked with Saga back in 2017, right after I graduated college. It was the second job that I had after college, following a summer program with After School Matters.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, my career had exclusively been in education, including formal teaching, but then also non-formal education. I worked in museums for a while. Before becoming a former teacher in a classroom, I was a director at the YMCA Metropolitan Chicago, developing science, science, technology, engineering, art, and math programs, and then managing those programs as well. Right now I am the middle school 7th and 8th grade math and science teachers at this charter school that I'm working at. And I've been doing that so far for 1 year.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, so we can sort of thank you for that. That was a great intro. And we can kind of go into, some of the questions for this conversation. And so I guess you kind of touched on this, but I guess before you were, doing your saga work and then now you're a teacher, had you known you wanted to go into education? It seems like you were doing a lot of education adjacent things. So did you know that was a career you were wanting to pursue?
It was the career that I had the most experience with even college. I have a physics degree, bachelor's in science in physics.
Yeah,
and that's what I pursued when I was in college. And one of the things that I did my final year at college was I worked at the Academic Resource Center at the mm-hmm. school that I worked at, which is the Illinois Institute of Technology. I see a physics table. Basically, I help people that were studying physics or just had to take a physics class with their, assignments, their work, mm-hmm. what have you. And I thought that was great. It's fun to share and develop strategies for how to communicate and gain establish comprehension of different subjects with mm-hmm. the variety of people, that were tied in some way, maybe to physics, whether it was their major or whether it was just a class that they had to take. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really rewarding. And it was something that I thought that I was good at, sort of facilitating conversations with people to try to sort of gain that comprehension. Then I continued to get more experience with it. The other thing was I had while I was in college, one of the things that I focused on outside of my studies was I was in the theater, a club.
Yeah.
And I was being improv, and I saw just a lot of sort of similarities between teaching and performance art. You're trying to communicate something to somebody you might not exactly want to say it, right? But you're trying to communicate something, you're trying to establish a connection in a very interesting way and a lot of ways with a lot of different people at the same time. And so it felt like a very familiar thing to do, and I found the fun in it. And that sort of translated to the educational career path in that way.
No, that's something I've thought about, actually. Teaching is a performance. You have to go up there in front of an audience of students. And yeah, that's an interesting connection that I really see that for sure.
It's not only you're trying to communicate the information, whether it's if it's performance, and I was doing improv, so it was it was plot, it was humor, it was things like that. But then you also want to, so you want to make it understandable, but then you kind of also want to make it entertaining, because that's going to keep people from completely tuning out,
Yeah. I think yeah, similarly, like as a teacher, like, you know, your kids, you have to engage them. That's kind of the same. It's the same thing. You need them engaged. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah, that's cool. Actually, I've thought about that too. I haven't done improv, but a friend of mine is really into it. And I was like thinking about how, well, there actually is some similarities there. So that's cool. So I guess while you were a tutor with Saga, you know, were there like moments, you know, did you know that you were like going to want to maybe become a full-time teacher afterwards? Or how did that kind of happen? I guess you've kind of done different things.
No, I didn't know. It was something where I was invited back to, it was given to me the option to be the second year teacher. And I was like, I learned a lot from this experience. Like, it was probably the job where I think fundamentally and like philosophically and just how I engaged with the world, it was the job where I probably learned the most, because I learned, like, I didn't just learn how to do my job. I learned how to be a teacher. I learned how to become this role. The philosophies and strategies behind that, which I took into all of my, you know, all of my jobs afterwards, frankly. So I learned a lot, but it was like, you know, I've done this for a year. I kind of want to move on to something else. More so, I mean, it was math teaching, right? And yeah. I am a physics major. I love math, but I was also interested in science, and I was kind of sad that I couldn't, number one, that I couldn't do more things in the field that I really liked, and number two, I think that was the biggest thing. And number two, I was kind of looking for something a little bit different too at the time. Following my work with Saga, I went into like museum education, which I found was a particularly interesting sweet spot where I learned a lot too. And again, it got me to engage with science, and also at a higher level, because even though you're dealing with the public, you are dealing with sort of adults as well and engaging with them. And then I also gained enjoyment of working with younger kids too. You know, when I was in Saga, I was exclusively working with high school students and a very specific band. And then, you know, after that, I really got the experience of engaging with lots of different age groups, lots of different levels. That is where I moved on to, because of those sort of desires that I wanted to do, but I used everything that I had learned previously in all the future like endeavors that I took on.
Okay, no, that makes sense. Like, so yeah, basically that sort of how I was talking to you, then you were doing museum education, and then now you're like a high school teacher now, right?
Right now I'm a middle school teacher.
Middle school teacher, sorry. Yeah. And then I guess, you know, so it sounds like, yeah, like from what you said, like, I guess you probably did learn a lot of more like relevant, like while you're in Saga, that probably a lot of that was relevant to what you're doing now in some ways, or no?
Yeah, most definitely. I think when I started at Saga, I started about a month in. I started as a per diem teacher, and then I was transitioned because I had started in like in the middle of September after the school year had already started. But so I had a very different kind of training. I had a completely virtual training. I'd meet several times a day. It was over the course of the week. And I'd meet several times a day with an instructor. This is later a person that I actually like reconnected with last year, because she was in a different job too. She was working with a thing called Invention Convention. And so I was with the YMCA doing this STEAM education. And so I connected with her through that. But it was interesting to see her path too. But in any case, sorry, off topic. No, I was engaged in a very specific way in my teaching, in my education of what the role was and how, you know, Saga's specific guidelines for teaching were. And I thought I really grew to appreciate the Socratic method that I was being taught in how I engaged with education, not doing formal instruction. I was talking about the thing that I thought was most useful was sort of developing the skills and the understanding of how lines of questioning, or more specifically, pointing out how you can point out errors and you can guide somebody to the correct answer without explicitly telling them that they did something wrong. Mm-hmm. It was a specific skill that I didn't really appreciate at the time, but I owe sort of that training and then my practice with it in the field to that job, to working at Saga.
Yeah.
And it was something that I brought with me to museum education as well, that sort of line of you know, inquiry. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to engage more people when you meet them on their terms, when you discuss things that they are interested in. Mm-hmm. And you really focus on their inquisitiveness, their desire to solve problems. And not even necessarily like to the point of like telling them that they're right or wrong. At a certain point, it doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. If they've done a problem, they've gotten it right, they've gotten it wrong, they've gotten whatever conclusion they got from it. All you're doing is then asking them to explain specific parts of it. And if they pick up on an issue themselves, that's where the learning comes in. I mean, you haven't told them that they did anything wrong at all. They figure that out themselves. And again, as a model for developing, you know, really developing comprehension in a skill and self-sufficiency in doing whatever it is, a math problem, you know, some sort of investigation, some sort of experiment, some topic, with knowledge on some sort of topic. I found that very powerful, and it was something that like I had kind of learned and developed an ability to do while working with Saga.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. And I think there is like a lot of, in some ways, it's like a unique, pretty unique structure in certain ways, like the kind of model that you're doing while you're doing that. And it is, I found it to be a very effective model too, like the small, you know, small scale and the way you're able to engage students in those kind of more like intimate settings than maybe as a teacher you are. So yeah, that's awesome.
And even so, I think, even in larger classrooms, the big push for, and this is done a lot with elementary school, the big push is for like small group and math station education, which is something that I think is a lot easier to do in elementary school and like younger grades than it is with older grades, where you have a lot more kids at a lot like different levels. But effectively, that's the thing that they're trying to do with formal education in general, is go more towards having like one room with a lot of different small pods, and they're all working on their own problems, because you can utilize that format to make a lot more, like to develop a lot more growth and comprehension in short periods of time, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that too, where I'm like, this like feels like this should just maybe be the model, you know, with like, you know, tweaks and nuances, of course, but there are really great advantages and the, also the relationships to it. That was another question I was going to ask, actually, is like the, you know, did you feel like sort of like you were able to take some of those like relationship building skills with you too? Obviously, it's different when you're a teacher, I think, how you go about it and the relationships you have. But yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Relationships with staff members or with students?
I meant more with students, but I guess you could speak to it.
Yeah, I think developing a way to talk with, like my previous jobs too, I'd worked with younger kids, so I had to develop like ways of engaging with them. So I don't know if that job in particular allowed me to, I mean, it all helped. It was all helpful, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I definitely think back to all of the different ways that we did lessons, which included, of course, like the small group tutoring. It also included larger group games. It included just like the provided curriculum, coming up with like additional curriculum, not just like not just assessing content that they are learning now, but going back and assessing at regular intervals the prerequisites and the core, you know, the the core concepts that students needed to learn if they were going to be successful. Mm-hmm. I thought that was helpful as well. And this is all more like instructional stuff. I guess this isn't directly your question, but then with those games, one of the ways that we encouraged engagement, in addition to as like, I'm not sure if they still do this, but they have like stores and you win points and so on and so forth. And kids can like redeem points for, you know, different prizes and stuff like that. That's not something I've ever utilized, but the games that we've come up with every single week for Fun Fridays, like one week it was like Chicago specific geology, you know, one week it was like a specific game or movie or media event that the kids were interested in. So coming up with ways of teaching the content through the lenses of things that they were already interested in. Again, something that I think about all the time, think about ways of incorporating into my instruction. And given that I have the experience of that being effective, of knowing how to do that, like that was great. That's great.
Yeah. No, totally. It sounds like you gained a lot, which is good. We love, yeah.
One of the like really fun things we did while I was, and of course, like consider this is back in 2017, 2018. So I've had years of like, of synthesizing all of this into my various jobs. And so that's why I can talk about it at length. But like one specific thing that we did was we had a, I'm not sure if this was done. What I really loved was like the fact that we had a site and we had a small, like close-knit group of people, and that we as a team were run where everybody's ideas were talked about and validated and encouraged, like the way that we engaged with the content. It felt like it was something where if we had an idea, we could talk about implementing it, not only in our small paths, but then in the entire class. And we can come up with an entire class way of doing something new and cool. But we did scavenger hunts. We went around the school and we hung up different problems around the school, and students would go to one, they'd answer it, and that would take them to the next one. And I thought that was great because the kids liked it. They liked that they could move around the school. It felt like a cool thing to do one Friday. And I've definitely implemented that in my instruction because I saw it work successfully. I saw that it was a way of engaging students in the content that they were already learning. Mm-hmm. And so because I had that connection, because I had that experience, it was something that I found easy to implement, and it was successful in future iterations of it as well. So there's all these different cool ideas that, you know, we worked on as a group. We figured out as a group, as a team at this site that we implemented in this school. And so just leaving that job, I had all of these different ideas for things that I can implement myself, mm-hmm. and knowledge about how they could be implemented. And that I found extremely, extremely useful.
Yeah. No, that was also, that was like kind of one of the great advantages too. I think as long as like you kind of mentioned your team, and like you have this team, you're always kind of like collaborating with, and you're all doing the same thing, you know, like, I mean, in different like groups, but you're all teaching the same thing. And it's cool to like see what, you know, like the different activities and ideas that you can come up with as that group. It just sounds like, it sounds like you, I guess I make, you know, you've been able to take a lot of different things and apply them now.
I had, in the moment, like you come to the position with whatever level of experience you have, with whatever skills that you have. But when you're working, it's not like you're working alone. You're working in a room filled with other people who are with other small groups, and you can look over and see what they're doing, see how they're doing possibly the same lesson, maybe a similar lesson, maybe a different lesson, but you see them facilitating around you. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a direct idea of like how they do it. And, you know, you can consider whether or not you can implement the same things in your group. Mm-hmm. But you can also see if they're a really excellent facilitator, a really excellent educator, you're taking things away from them. You're learning the right way to do it through active example. While you are working, you are also getting that, you have the opportunity of shadowing another person basically because they're doing it right next to you. And you're like, oh, that's cool that they did that. That is a great thing to do. I didn't think about doing that. I can try to implement that as well. And you're practicing your facilitation too. And, yeah. And it's so much easier when you are with a small group than, you know, you're thrown directly into a larger group. You know, you can really focus on the small things that you want to focus on that, you know, once you are put in the classroom, if you are to later become a teacher, like, it's a lot easier to do because you've had that practice with that smaller group.
Yeah, no, but it is a good opportunity on that small scale to explore, try different things. You know, it's a little bit more low stakes maybe than when you are their teacher.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, I know you don't want to use the word testing, but I think it's all helpful considering that they have that additional practice and you're trying to determine on a student-by-student, in a lot of cases by a student-by-student basis, what is most effective, and in which case it is practice. Like, you're trying things out, you're testing things out, and you're trying to find out what is going to be most helpful for that student, what is going to be the best strategy for you, and you need to do that in order to figure out what's going to be best for the students that you're working with.
I guess one thing I'd be interested in is, and I know you've been, you know, you're sort of still new to being, how long have you been teaching where you're teaching now? You said just a year?
This is my first year teaching. The one thing that I will say too, again, this is not a question you specifically asked, but I had the experience, I'm working like teaching middle school right now. Having the experience of working with high schoolers, especially, I mean, we work with freshmen and sophomores, I can explicitly see where the students are, like were, at least when I taught, and at, like a lot of the same schools that the kids that I'm working with now will be going to. And then also like learning what they're teaching, right? How CPS teaches their content, in what order, what their units are, what students struggle with, and what teachers focus on. And that's really helpful teaching like eighth grade, you know, because it's like, I know it's coming. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach you this. And I can say from experience, this is not the last time you're going to be learning about this. They're going to expect you to know this. So you better work on it now, you know?
Yeah, you can see like the alignment and trajectory and, you know, you're important. You know, you're like, I need them to learn this because I'm sure you saw this too. I mean, I know when I was a tutor or something, you know, we did see a lot, you know, you see the skill gaps, you know, so you realize they're like, oh shoot. Yeah. That eighth grade math was really important. now they don't, maybe they know it, maybe they don't. Hopefully they know it. I'm sure your kids know. but is something that's come up sometimes is, you know, there's teachers you have concerns or reservations about having, you know, sort of, you know, Saga tutors or just maybe any external tutors that kind of come in and, you know, there's maybe like some tension there. Like, I guess now you have been a teacher in the classroom. Like, what is your kind of take on that?
I mean, yeah, there's always, I don't know about tension. I think it's hard to say whether or not I took this away, but like when I was a teacher, like, or when I was working the Saga, when I was a tutor, I would always like try to make like as good relationships as possible with the teachers and be like, I'm here to here to work with you. I'm here to help these students and we are doing it our own way. But again, we made tons of modifications. We changed things around based specifically on what students were doing in the classroom. You know, we would look at homework and we would be like, what do students need to know in order to do this homework that they're struggling with? We're going to teach them that. You know, it's we work directly with teachers. And I think when I was working as like a coordinator, like a director, kind of like in coordination in a management position with the YMCA, I'd also take that on because what I was doing was I was developing curriculum that would be utilized in lots of different areas that like we were sending people in and doing it. And sometimes that would cause friction. And so I learned about the importance of making those relationships. I think through Saga as well. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, as long as you're all on the same page, I think that, and as long as there is a clear relationships that are drawn, collaboration being made towards a common goal, our goal is to, like, you know, get these kids on grade level, get these kids the content and the knowledge that they need. And so, like, all the help is good. Like, as much help as possible is great, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I saw it. I feel like most people I've talked to...
And I've seen the negative impacts of it. In fact, like, I have been asked to work with students. I've been asked to work with other math teachers at my school, and then during other classes, like, or outside of my classes, like, tutor specific kids in ways that they can't get in their formal math classes because they're all at different levels. So, like, you need to work with specific students on those specific skills that they need, because when you are a math teacher, you have to hit benchmarks, and you are focusing, you try as much as possible to differentiate, but you need as many people in the class to hit those benchmarks as possible. It is impossible to, like, really focus and zone in on the kids that need a very specific amount of help while you are teaching your class, which is 45 minutes to an hour. You just don't have enough time. So
yeah,
I think it's beneficial to have as much time outside of the class to do that as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I see it as, like, I think, you know, the tutors are hopefully trying to supplement or even, like, multiply the impact of the teacher. You know, it's like, yeah.
One of the things about me when I was at Saga was, I mean, I had maybe similar or different from the other, like, people that are in those positions. I was a business major, right? I had a lot of information about math. I was good at math. I was good at coming up with challenging problems for math. And so when I was developing my problems and things like that, when I was teaching, I would really challenge the kids, basically.
Yeah.
And I had groups that responded really well to that, which I also thought was important, right? When we were doing it, I'm not sure if this has changed. I know the goal was possibly to, at some point, when we were doing it, it was in, like, a testing phase, right? So at some point they were maybe going to pull specific kids that needed, like, the math lab support into that class. When I was doing it at the school, it was just randomly chosen. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's still done, maybe it's not, but, like, randomly chosen. Some kids could really use that additional math support. Some were doing just fine in math without, like, our class. And so that was a prime opportunity for me to really challenge them and have them work on things that they wouldn't have even gotten in their math class. They wouldn't have learned without this additional encouragement. And that was rewarding too. Like, all kids can benefit from getting that additional support, whether or not they're struggling with the content, you know?
I'm really glad you brought up that point, because I think a lot of times the focus is, we're closing the achievement gap, or we're helping kids who are behind, or, you know, we're making sure kids are getting what they need. And sometimes what kids need is, like, they're bored, you know, like, they need, like, they need to be challenged. Like, I definitely had a few students like that where I was like,
and the kids that are not even trying, they're sleeping their way through math class. I give them problems like, well, what about that? And to actually see them, like, consider it and finally get thought to something in a way that they would have never with any of the homework that they're given was really rewarding. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's also, did you pursue, like, further licensure, or was that not necessary?
It is necessary. Just because it's not necessary for all schools. I work at a charter school, so it may or may not be necessary, but a charter school in Chicago is still under the CPS umbrella. And so they allow some flexibility, but it still is required to get a teacher's license.
Gotcha.
I mean, but even so, like, I was coming at it after having lots of experience with teaching already. And so a lot of it was just, like, refining the things that I had learned. Whereas when I started a Saga, I was like, I'd never really done formal education at all. And so it was kind of all new to me, but it is, I mean, it was kind of like a work-based licensure program almost, you know. I was getting a lot of those things that I think are important to learn as a teacher, just from the training and the experience on that job, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's kind of sort of like the kind of the point of this, honestly, is to see like, yeah, like not everyone's going to do the traditional route of like, oh, I study education in college and then I do the education program and everything, you know, like that's not the route for a lot of people. And yeah, that's kind of what we're exploring is like, yeah, like the experience in Saga is great because you might not have, you know, you may think, oh, well, I like math or whatever, or I like kids, but you don't necessarily know what it's like to actually like teach anything. And that's kind of what we're seeing is like, how can it serve as this, like, almost this like introduction for people to be like, oh, wait, I do like teaching, you know?
Sure. Or like, not even I like math. Like, maybe I don't like math. But
maybe you don't like math.
You learn that teaching math is a very specific, like, teaching something is a very different kind of experience than I think, like, doing it sometimes. Like you said, there's the connection to performance, there's a connection to making relationships, there's that connection to just like communicating and helping the community that I think is really rewarding in itself. Mm-hmm. And what you are exactly teaching is a byproduct of that. It's like a side part of that. Yeah.
It's, you need to know it, but it's also like one small chunk of what you're actually doing. Yeah.
Math didn't need to be your favorite subject to be a very good math teacher.
Yeah, in fact,
with Chicago in particular, I mean, they have the Golden Apple program. They have all of these different programs that already kind of do that same thing. So it would be beneficial and somewhat easy to like make those relationships that sort of help teachers like get licensure. You know, following, doing this job, like it's very extremely doable. I didn't know about it back when I graduated, when I was like working there. I don't know if that has changed since, but it seems very doable to like figure out a way to connect like people that are in this program with those schools that offer like specifically just those licensure certificates to be licensed to teach a specific subject in the state of Illinois. Like that's not a hard thing to do. It wasn't made an easy process. Like you have to know somebody in education to do it. That's not something that like Saga taught, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's like the opportunity for growth there, I guess. It's like, maybe there could be more of that like clear connection for people if they're interested. Yeah. I mean, so we've gone through basically all of my written down questions. So I guess now I'll just like turn to you and be like, hey, is there anything else you want to share that's pertinent or anything like maybe just thoughts about, I've been asking like just general thoughts about education. You like feel like you want to share in general?
No, I think again, like all of this was done before the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like me working at Saga's before the pandemic.
Yeah.
That was a very specific picture. And then I start teaching after the pandemic, right? And it seems like a totally different story where, I mean, students are falling behind in ways that they never have before. I definitely, like, just seeing the data of, like, students. And again, this is in the city of Chicago. This is, like, being in education, looking at, like, how different schools compare when we do like tea and stuff like that. Just like absenteeism, mm-hmm. even coming to school, grade drop-offs, especially among the higher grades. Like our middle schoolers now are much lower than the middle schoolers were before the pandemic. And that I wonder how that translates to going into high school, right? I think there's a greater need for kind of small group work and providing students as many like access to resources as possible. I will say that. And I'm sorry for not having more information about like, or not having more experience about like how like Saga runs post-pandemic or like any of that really. But it's, I mean, I wonder how it's being done, but I think like, considering that these gaps have been like exacerbated by this event that is years away at this point, but you're still feeling the effects in education. I think that's a testament to like that more can be done, and absolutely like my experience, again, working at it at a different time, was it does have a positive effect. I actively saw the positive effect that it was happening, not just for grades in school, but for comprehension of skills that, I mean, students got to high school without like IEPs or anything, and they couldn't do basic math. Like,
that
was scary, right? But the fact that we worked in small groups and we were able to work with these kids one-on-one, that's how we learned. Like, I actively saw that happening. I saw like interventions being created for specific kids because of like this program and the relationships that we were able to develop with kids in those small group settings. So I don't know. That's my thought on that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, thoughts on education, that's a big something.
No, that was great. And I definitely really great about the small groups. I think a lot of students, you know, they don't want to admit, or they don't necessarily want to like, kids will not really understand what's going on, but they'll just like pretend that they do, you know? And then in the small groups, it's harder to like, you can't really just like kind of avoid people, you know, like there's more of accountability in a way at times.
I do think that, you just saying that, it having worked the job, it also gave me the opportunity to see how students engage with like a lack of comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there were tons of kids who were like, I realized that they couldn't do it, and how they engaged with not doing it was pretending like they think this is too easy for me. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored. You know?
Yeah.
But the reason that they were doing that, the reason that they weren't engaging with it, is because they had a fear of doing it wrong, mm-hmm. right? And that's something that I learned in that position. I thought was cool.
Yeah. Exactly. That. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna, I guess, like sort of wrap up now. But this is great. You gave me a lot of information. And yeah. So I guess. Well, thanks for chatting, Reno. It's great. I hope your rest of your school year, or your school year hasn't started. What am I doing? I hope your next school year goes well.
All good. Yeah. I hope you have a great summer. I hope, Doris. I was super happy to talk with you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.